Let's turn again to the part of God's Word which we read together in the book of Judges, chapter 6, and we will read at verse 25. Judges chapter 6, verse 25. And it came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him, Take thy father's young bullock, even the second bullock of 7 years old, and throw down the altar of Baal that thy father hath, and cut down the grove that is by it, and build an altar unto the Lord thy God upon the top of this rock, in the ordered place, and take the second bullock, and offer a burnt sacrifice with the wood of the grove which thou shalt cut down, and so on. As we have considered already, God commissioned Gideon to deliver his people Israel from the hand of Midian, who had attacked Israel 7 years. When Gideon heard from the angel that he was to deliver his people, we find that he felt weak, and he asked for assurance and reassurance. And God indeed confirmed his call to Gideon by consuming the present with fire from the rock. And as we read, Gideon was so amazed by this that he had seen an angel of the Lord. He was fearing for his life. But God spoke to him. He said, Peace be unto thee. Fear not. Thou shalt not die. God is ready to assure his people of his love and care for them. He is assuring them they will not perish. None perish that him trust. No one will perish who trusts in the Lord. God will uphold his people. God will keep them safe. As we read in Psalm 121, He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. God's eye is always upon his people for their good, to uphold them and care for them. And now that Gideon has a measure of confidence that God will be with him, we find that he is ready to go forward. And so it is that when we get an experience of peace, true peace from the Lord, we are ready to serve him. We feel strengthened through that experience of peace. And Gideon is given direction. He is given work to do, not to waste any time, but to go forward in duty. But first, we find that there is an enemy at home that he has to deal with. An enemy in his own household or his father's household. And we see that the worship of Baal was practiced by his own family. God gives him direction to throw down the altar of Baal that thy father hath and cut down the grove by it. Gideon's own father has an altar to Baal. It must be destroyed. And an altar to the Lord must be built, and a sacrifice must be offered upon it. So before the true worship is to be conducted and the service of God practiced, there must be the destruction of idols. The worship of Baal must be discontinued, and the worship of God established. And as we're reminded of what Elijah said to the people of Israel, if Baal be God, serve him. But if the Lord is God, serve him alone. And we find here that Gideon obeys God. He destroys Baal, and he lets the consequences be what they will. And with the Lord's help this evening, we will notice, first of all, the command to destroy idols. The command to destroy our idols, or to cast them out, throw them down. Secondly, the obedience of God's people, as illustrated and exemplified here by Gideon, the obedience of God's people. And thirdly, the acceptance of consequences. Gideon was going to obey God no matter what would be the result. He did it by night. But he obeyed God nevertheless. And we find in the the following morning that the people were ready to put him to death. So let us consider, first of all, the command to destroy our idols, secondly, the obedience of God's people, and thirdly, the acceptance of consequences. Verse 25, we read that it came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him, so here is Gideon, he had just received a commission to be the leader in saving Israel from the Midianites. And that night, no doubt, he was full of thoughts. He was contemplating the great work he was about to do. He had to get an army together. He had to have some kind of plan. He was going to face this great force of the Midianites. So he was probably full of thoughts about what lay before him. And with all of these thoughts, God speaks to him. That same night, the Lord said unto him, perhaps God spoke to him in the midst of all of his anxiety, perhaps to prevent the thoughts accumulating and fear overwhelming him. God gives him immediate duty. He has, to deliver Israel from Midian, but he needs to deliver his family from idolatry. And so God speaks to him. And God gives him work to do immediately. And it is to take thy father's young bullock, even the second bullock of 7 years old, and throw down the altar of Baal that thy father hath, and cut down the grove that is by it, and so on. So Gideon is directed to select a bullock, a young bull. It is identified as the second bullock. And perhaps because Baal worship was so prevalent that only one bullock was left in Gideon's father's livestock that would be suitable for the sacrifice. And it is 7 years old, and that has been referred to the possibility of course, 7 years of the age of the bullock, representing the 7 years in which Midian had attacked Israel, so that 1 year each year of the bullock would represent a year of the sin of the people to make atonement for them, for the 7 years' sin. And others have suggested that the need to specify the particular bull simply underlines Gideon's fear or his reluctance. And that God was helping him all the way through. God even designates the very bullock to choose for the sacrifice. So God is upholding him, directing him, and caring for him all along. And if we're praying to the Lord and depending upon him continually, we can be sure that God will direct us and he will make a way forward for us. And it's been pointed out that even though it is his father's bullock he's to take, since God has commanded it, God has authority. God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, and it is God's authority that Gideon was relying upon as he goes forward in the path of duty. And build an altar unto the Lord thy God upon the top of this rock. But before that, we read that he is to throw down the altar of Baal. Throw down the altar of Baal. Baal was, of course, a false god, an idol. Baal means owner or possessor or husband. Basically, Baal was the master and the people were to serve Baal. But of course, if the Lord is God, he is to be served and Baal must go. Baal must be thrown down. The altar of Baal. And also there is the grove that is to be cut down. And the grove appears to be a wooden idol, Asherah, as it is in the original. And it is thought that Asherah and Astarte are probably one and the same, a Canaanite goddess associated with Baal. And you see how prevalent idolatry was among the Israelites. And we have to search our own hearts. Here is, in Gideon's situation, his own family has an altar to Baal and a grove or the wooden idol next to the altar of Baal. in his own family, his own people. What about our own families and our own hearts? What are we tolerating? What do we have to search that ought to be got rid of, and sooner than later? And more importantly, our own hearts as individuals. What is seeming to become more important to us than the Lord and the things of the Lord? What are we giving our thoughts to that's occupying our mind more than ought to be? And giving place in our lives or our affections, a place that belongs to the Lord alone. He is to have our highest affection, our best, all our energy, our concentration. You know, sometimes we give more concentration to some things and we rush through the things of the Lord. Well, that ought not to be. The Lord is to have our hearts and our minds and our strength, and to love Him supremely. And so we're to search our own hearts and pray that the Holy Spirit would search our hearts, enabling us to see, giving us light upon our emotions, affections, our thoughts, and purposes. Are our affections going out to other things, and are they cooling in regard to the Lord? Well, that's a very serious matter. When we feel our affections to God diminishing and growing cold, we need to pray for the renewing of lively affection towards the Lord, if we're His people at all. And if we're not His people, oh, how urgent is our need of a new heart, that our hearts will be set upon Christ and things above, and not on things on the earth. If our hearts are set only on the things of the earth, well, what does that say about us? If your heart is cleaving to the dust of the world and nothing else, it is not yearning after God and Christ. Well, it says you're dead in trespasses and sins. We say that to arouse you, to awaken you, to cry out to God for mercy and help, that the Holy Spirit would put a new heart in you. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Pray that prayer. Pray it earnestly. Cry to the Lord for saving grace. And the Lord's people are to take heed to the call, O Israel, return unto the Lord thy God, for thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. Hosea chapter 14, verse 1. Gideon is directed to throw down the altar of Baal. He would destroy it. He would demolish it. He would take the hammers and the tools, whatever it took, to break down that altar, to cast it down. And then he would build an altar to God. Verse 26, and build an altar unto the Lord thy God upon the top of this rock, in the ordered place, and take the second bullock, and offer a burnt sacrifice with the wood of the grove which thou shalt cut down. An altar, of course, is a structure that is made of earth or stone that is not hewn stone, as we read in the book of Exodus, chapter 20, and sacrifices were offered upon it. The word in the Hebrew comes from a word meaning to slay. So essentially, the altar was to offer sacrifices upon. And sometimes they were used for memorials, which we find in the case of Gideon when he built an altar there unto the Lord and called it Jehovah Shalom. And that was a memorial to remind people, remind himself at least, of the Lord speaking peace to him. So Gideon is to build an altar on the top of this rock. And it is not the same rock as the wine press was made from, because the word, as you see in the margin, literally is strong place or stronghold. It's a fortress. So this altar of Baal was near to this rock, this fortress. Well, it was no fortress in the time when they were worshiping Baal, when the Midianites were coming and ravaging the Israelites. They could find no security there. Baal had not protected them. But when God would be served, then he himself would be their stronghold. So the altar was to be built upon this, or in this, or near this stronghold. And also in the ordered place. Now you see again in the margin, it says in an orderly manner. And so it was, the altar must be built according to God's specifications in an orderly way. It must not be made of hewn stone when it was to be made of earth or to stones, but not hewn stone. Man must not interfere or and add to God's worship. It must be regulated by the Lord himself. So in an orderly manner and with building the altar according to God's requirements, or the pieces of the wood must be arranged properly. The wood would be, of course, from the grove or the wooden idol which Gideon would cut down. And so it is that the things that were in the service of Satan, God can make them material that is to be used in his own cause. Material, even fuel, in God's own way. So the Lord has his own way of making use of these things. He was going to use the grove, the wood of the grove, for the fire that would burn the sacrifice. It was put to good use, to consume. So Gideon has clear instructions. And again, he is directed to make the altar, offer the sacrifice, but first, and this is important, first destroy the altar of Baal. And before we engage in the worship of God, for example, on a Sabbath morning, we need to search our hearts. Where are our affections going? What does the worship of God mean to us? Why do we come to the house of God? Are we just coming to see our friends? Are we coming just to appease our consciences? We need to search our hearts, and we need to pray that the idols would be cast out and that we would give God the glory. We would bring an offering with us, a thankful heart, a heart that is set upon Christ, that our treasure would be in heaven and not upon earth. So Gideon offers up this sacrifice, and it is a sacrifice that should be sincere. It would be a burnt offering, a whole burnt offering. Now, of course, Gideon was not a priest. He was from the tribe of Manasseh. He was not a Levite. But again, the priesthood being a positive ordinance, which is a command or ordinance grounded in the will of God and not in the nature of God, as the other commandments are, and God and man's relation to God. But this is a positive ordinance because God willed it, so it was. He can change that, as he did eventually, and completely abrogated the priesthood. Well, in this specific situation, Gideon from Manasseh is directed to offer a sacrifice. And it's also been pointed out that perhaps people found it difficult to go to Shiloh, where the sacrificial worship was conducted. But the point is here that the whole animal was consumed on the altar. A burnt sacrifice. And it was the probably just one bullock, because we don't read about what he was to do with two bullocks. The word second bullock is simply to designate which of his father's bullocks he would take. And he offered this burnt sacrifice. The sacrifices pointed to Christ. The people needed to be forgiven their sins. They had worshipped idols. And symbolically, the sin of the people is being forgiven, at least for Gideon and his family. It's pointing to the need that we all have of being sprinkled upon by the blood of Christ and accepted through the sacrifice of Christ. Are we praying the publican's prayer, God be merciful to me, a sinner, through the sacrifice of Christ? And we're reminded again that we obtain peace through the blood of the cross. Peace be unto thee. Christ, by his blood, has secured peace for believers. And we must be forgiven and cleansed in order to do service for the Lord. When God's people experienced cleansing from sin, they also experienced renewing and dedication to God, getting rid of the idols, going forward in duty, so that they will be successful in overcoming the enemy. And so the whole burnt offering, and this is what we're trying to get to, is symbolizing the whole heart being devoted to God, being consecrated, just as the whole animal, it's the whole burnt offering. And there's a difference between the sin offering, which was with only the blood collected and sprinkled, and then the animal was taken to a clean place and burnt far away from the altar. The whole burnt offering, the whole animal is consumed on the altar, symbolizing that we must be fully devoted to God. There must be a flame of devotion ascending up to God. That's what we need to pray for, that we would be a flame for God with love, ardent love to the Lord. And so Gideon perhaps was taking comfort in this, and he was going to be obedient to God in saving his people from Midian, fully devoted, not without some fear, but he was determined to serve God. And that leads us to the second point, which is the obedience of God's people. But I think we're going to leave it there because time is getting away and we can take this up next time. Gideon's obedience. And we should ask ourselves in conclusion, are we zealous for God? Do we desire to be holy, consecrated to the Lord? Are we prepared to cast out our idols, prepared to throw down the altar of Baal? If this is not teaching us to cast out our idols, I don't know what it's teaching us. We must search our hearts for the altar of Baal and seek the energy and the strength from the Lord to cast our idols to the moles and to the bats. And in 1 John chapter 5, we read, "Little children, keep yourselves from idols." If we desire the blessing of the Lord as we approach a communion season, we need to search our hearts for idols and seek grace to mortify. We may not be literally taking our hobbies and setting them on the side of the road to be picked up, thrown into the rubbish. We cannot get rid of our children or a loved one that our hearts may be set upon. But that affection within us, that is to be mortified. The excessive, inordinate desire and love to whatever it may be, that is what we need to concentrate on. And pray earnestly to the Lord that our hearts will be set on Him, and that whatever our hearts do go to lawfully, it would be with this reservation that Christ always, always has first place. He must have our hearts. He must have the highest place in our lives. And we should always be asking, "What wilt thou have me to do?" Well, next time we hope to consider Gideon's obedience and the consequence. We believe that it seems to us that his going forward in duty was a way of gaining strength along the way. And we need to pray that we would be strengthened by the Lord. "They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint." And all of us are directed to the Lord Jesus Christ, the fountain open for sin and for uncleanness. How can we be cleansed from our idols? It is by going to Christ, that the Holy Spirit may come. "Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean from all your filthiness, and from all your idols will I cleanse you." We can't do it ourselves. We're commanded to. We're commanded to repent. But all of us, young and old, converted or not converted, we're called upon to repent, and we need to go to Christ that he would come in our souls and subdue our iniquities and cleanse us from idols. Again, he does the work by his blood washing away the stain of sin from our conscience, and by his Spirit conquering that sin, cleansing us from the pollution within, the power, the corruption within us. We're to go to Christ. Christ alone, may he have the glory, may he have our hearts. Look unto me, he calls us, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else. O Israel, thou hast destroyed thyself, but in me is thy help. May he bless his word. Let us pray.